And the reason I want to get this out to you all is for 7 months, Jimmy and I have carried this burden that Doug and Sally have carried for many years. And this burden is not that we miss him. We miss him terribly. And if there's anyone in this room that don't know what eternal life is and hadn't accepted Jesus, let me give you a clue. Without that right now, you wouldn't be, I wouldn't be here.
Come, Holy Spirit.
I wouldn't be able to even talk to you. I wouldn't be able to even think about my son, Mark. That song right there, God healed him. Oh, yeah, he's not here with us. But God healed him. He took him and took him home and put him in his arms and loved him and is still loving him every second of every eternity. And I just want you to know that Jimmy and I are so thankful for you all. And for this fine young pastor and our pastor. And all, you've been so great to us. Right now is an important time. If you don't have Jesus in your life, right now is probably the best time in your life. You'll not get another opportunity, possibly. But I want you to know one thing. It's real.
Yeah,
it's real. Probably the only real thing in my whole thinking life. Why did Jesus die for us? I'll never be able to tell you. All I know is he did, and he died for you, every one of you. If you've got a hell in your life right now, I had a lady tell me right here in this church that she had hell in her life all of her life. But because of my son Mark and the way he lived, that she's changed her life, and she is a good person now. And, you know, I can't tell you what that meant because that was the day of his birthday. I was sitting right there where that lady said. And I'm going to quit talking. You know me. I get started. I can't shut up. But we love you. We love you all so much. And, you know, when I come to know Doug and Sally, you'll not know the burden. And it is a burden. I'm telling you, it is a burden. It's something you wake up in the morning with and you go to bed with at night and you... It's a burden that God can carry for you. Can he, Doug? Can he, Sally?
Yeah.
I love you guys all very much. And you.
I am the God that healeth thee. I sent my word and healed your disease. I am
let's sing it one more time. One more time.
I am the God that healeth thee. I am the Lord your healer. I sent my word and healed your disease. I am the Lord, your healer.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And thank you, Ken. I might need you quicker than what we might think. So if you get the urge to leave, well, that's all I got. I've got some dear friends here from the past, and this is a crazy church. So, Yeah, and boy, we like it around here, don't we? Let her rip. I think that's my favorite verse in the Bible. At least that's my interpretation of Jesus' famous last words that we have recorded in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, where Jesus says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses," his witnesses, "both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." And yet thus far, Jesus' famous last words have not really come to pass in Acts. You know, thus far, this church planting stuff has been pretty much confined to Jerusalem. But then he includes some other places in there. You just read it with me, didn't you? "When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest part of the earth." But thus far, that's not really happened in these messages from the book of Acts. You remember the concluding summary statement, I hope, and if you don't, hey, you've got a sheet now, if you want, and if you have the Bible, you may recall that Michael concluded, he's a good preacher, isn't he? I just want to tell you, he's a keeper. He's a keeper. Don't throw him back. He's a keeper. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, that was the summary statement that was the concluding summary statement of Michael's message last week. And here's what it says in Acts 6 and verse 7. "The word of God kept on spreading, and the number of the disciples continued to increase greatly." Where? In Jerusalem. "And a great many of the priests were becoming obedient to the faith." Man, don't you love it when preachers get saved? I mean, I love it. You know, I just like it, you know. That could be why the church is not growing like it should. Too many of us are messed up. But I love it when preachers get saved. And but now fast forward to this morning's summary statement. We find it in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. And here's what it says. "So the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria," oh, something has happened here, "enjoyed peace, being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit." The comfort of the Holy Spirit, parakletos in Greek. And it has to do with, it's two words put together, the P-A-R-A, para. Are you with me here? I know you are. You've got your Greek New Testament out. I love it. And that means toward or alongside of. It's a prefix. And then the last part of the word, the root of it means to call out, kaleo. And it sounds kind of like that, doesn't it? Well, actually, we get our transliterated word call from the Greek word kaleo, okay? And the Holy Spirit, it was the comfort, the called alongside of Holy Spirit. The church was going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It continued to increase. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, as we leave the serenity of this place to enter the insanity of that place. North, south, east, west. What happened between Michael's last message and my message this morning? From Acts chapter 6 to Acts chapter 9. What happened that caused the church to go to be just a Jerusalem thing. And now all of a sudden it has become a worldwide kind of thing. Do you realize that the what happened in between that is the reason why we're here? If it would have been just confined to Jerusalem, we are most miserable today. But it wasn't. It wasn't. When Jesus hung on the cross and he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing," that "them" was pretty inclusive. That there'd be us. What happened between Acts 6 and Acts 9? I'll tell you, they killed a deacon. That's what they did. Who said uh-oh? A deacon. That's pretty funny. Unless you're a deacon, of course. And I think what happened was the church had its first letter rip moment. Yeah. And there are three of these letter rip moments in this between an Acts chapter 6 summary statement 4 and an Acts chapter 9 summary statement 5. There are three of these what I'm calling letter rip moments. Let's look at the first one. The first one is a story. This letter rip story is Stephen's story. He was a deacon. You read Acts chapter 6 and, well, let's do it. Chapter 6 and verse 8. It follows the summary statement that Michael used last week. Verse 8 of chapter 6 says this, "And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people." In our class, this is kind of parenthetical. It's free. We've been studying through 1 Timothy in pastor's class before this group meets. And we were at chapter 3 today. In chapter 3 of 1st, did I say 1 Peter? I meant 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Peter's a good book too. But 1 Timothy chapter 3 and the first 7 verses or so give the qualifications for pastors or for elders. And the next few verses give the qualifications for deacons. It's amazing to me that when you hear, and some of you have some baggage maybe like I have, although I've pretty much gotten rid of my baggage, and thank the Lord. And when I would hear churches as they would go through the selection process for deacons, some of you already know kind of where I'm probably going with this deal. And some of you may still have some scars with some of this deal. But you'd hear the qualifications listed out. And the only thing, well, there were usually two things that churches or people would really be checking out with whether a person was really qualified to be a deacon or not. One of those was, has he ever been divorced? Are you with me? And you know what the other one is don't you? Is the guy, is he a drink? You know, does he drink? And yet when you go to Acts chapter 6, like where we are this time, none of that stuff, it's talked about. You know what's talked about? Being full of the Holy Spirit. That's what it talks about. I have never sat in any kind of a selection process at any church where I ever heard a battle over that. Where there were ever questions about, well, okay. I get it. He's been married 14 times and he's a sluggard. He just drinks. He drinks all the time like that. But that's not important to me. Is the dude filled with the Holy Spirit? Or dudette? Is he full of the Holy Spirit? Ken's back. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. You remember, I'm not a big movie type person, and when I get, you know, we have pastor's meetings a couple times a month, and the guys that I serve with the exception of old Ken Woodward over here, he and I are probably about in the same camp, but the rest of these guys, they know movies. And they can quote, you know, pick it on Ken just a little bit. This guy, he can quote lines from movies, especially Three Stooges. Three Stooges movies. Right. I mean, the guy knows them all. But he can quote. And then when he gets going, then Michael, he gets rolling. Yeah, and then they said this kind of thing. I don't even know what that movie is. And John Johnson, he's right there too. Andy Oath was possibly the worst, you know, at that. He could remember all this. Well, there was a movie, A Few Good Men, a few years ago. I don't know if anybody, Jack Nicholson's character was in it, you know, and not Tom Brady, but what was that? Tom Cruise. I knew it was a Tom. Being influenced by the football season these days, I guess. So anyway, do you recall his character in that movie? And you know the line, it's a somewhat famous line. You want the truth, you can't handle the truth. You remember that?
Yeah.
He did a lot better job. But this was Stephen's, you want the truth, you can't handle the truth deal. I think Jack Nicholson's character got it from Stephen. Because what follows is a series of uh-oh statements, Lori. Yeah. Yeah, it says so. Yeah, check it out. But some men, begins verse 9. This guy, Deacon, full of grace and power, was performing great wonders and signs among the people. But some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, they were Libyans. No, they were from Libya. I know these things. Synagogue of the freedmen, including both Cyrenians or Cyrenians, however you want to pronounce it, Alexandrians, and some from Cilicia and Asia, they rose up and argued with Stephen. Uh-oh. That's the first one. That's a, you want the truth, you can't handle the truth. And then when you go down that road, you're going to have some detractors. There are going to be some people that are going to come against you. They did with Stephen. Now we've got to get from Acts chapter 6 to Acts chapter 9. So let's go quickly. Read on, verse 11. Then they secretly induced men to spread some lies about him. Uh-oh. Verse 12 says, and then they stirred up the people. Uh-oh. Verse 13, they put forward false witnesses. Uh-oh. Verse 15, and fixing their gaze on him, giving him the old evil eye. Later on, it says it growled. Uh-oh. It gets worse. And then you go all the way to the end of Stephen's story, the first of the letter rip moment stories. It says, now when they heard this, verse 54, they were cut to the quick. Uh-oh. And they began gnashing their teeth. Uh-oh. And here it is, verses 55 and 56. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And, oh yeah, I mean, and he said, Stephen did, this deacon full of the Holy Spirit. I see the heavens opened up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And then what follows is Stephen is stoned to death. I think it's interesting some of the things that Stephen said as he was being stoned to death. Verse 59, they went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. I wonder where he heard that phrase. And verse 60 says, then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. That sounds eerily similar to forgive them, for they don't know what they're... Do you suppose this all happens? It was a Jerusalem guy, a deacon. Do you suppose Stephen may have been there and saw the crucifixion? I don't know. We don't know. You know, I have a list of 1,401 questions I'm going to ask the Lord when I see him. That there be one of them. Was Stephen really there? Did he hear you say those things? And at his lowest, and Jesus would say, no. It was his highest. It wasn't his lowest. It was his highest. We don't know. But I suppose when he saw Jesus, the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father, I think maybe he just heard Jesus say, let her rip. Let her rip. I don't know. First let her rip story. The second one, yikes. I'm calling Philip's story, not Philip's story, but Philip. Another deacon. I just think this is interesting. How the church got from a Jerusalem deal to a worldwide deal. They killed a deacon. And then we are introduced to Philip's story. We find that in Acts chapter 8. I want you to just look with me at verse 5 as we kind of begin to think about Philip's story. It says, Philip went down, Acts chapter 8, verse 5. Philip went down to the city of Samaria. Here it's already happening, folks. It's already moving out of Jerusalem. Went down to the city of Samaria and began, a bunch of Samaritans. You remember it was a couple of disciples earlier as they were following Jesus and they weren't received really well. And they asked Jesus, why don't you call down fire and destroy those Samaritan dogs? So, no, that's not exactly my way here, boys. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ to them. It's an interesting word. Do you see it there? It's a word that we have translated. It's a word that it means doesn't just mean to share with. You know, let me just share with you Jesus. That's not what it means. It's a word that means to speak clearly and loudly. The transliterated word from the word Greek word here, and I know, Brianna, you have this, is a word that probably the greatest opera singer that ever lived, Caruso. That's the word here, Caruzine. And, you know, Caruso, I've shared this with you many times. It's been said, I never ever, obviously never saw him, never heard it, but I've read stories about how Caruso, he could whisper in an auditorium of thousands with no amplification, no microphones, none of that stuff. And those on the very back row could hear him whisper. Because he would sing with such clarity and such that everyone could hear. And so, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and began proclaiming Christ, Kerutzine. Literally, to proclaim loudly or clearly. And then if you go on down to verse 12, but when they believed Philip preaching the good news, that's a different word, it's actually where we get our word evangelism from, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. And follow with me, down to verse 25, it says, they started back to Jerusalem and were preaching the gospel. So some others kind of got in with it, said, hey, we need to start not keeping the faith, baby. We need to start sharing the faith. And we need to do it with power. With power. And so, preaching the gospel. And then over in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning from this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. And this is talking about the Ethiopian eunuch here. And then in verse 40, but Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. You remember the Great Commission of our Lord before he left planet Earth. Before he left Earth too. But then when he left planet Earth, okay? Earth, where did that come from? Hope it's gone now. But before he left here, he said, as you go throughout the countryside, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And I tell you what, he said, if you do that, I'll be with you through it all. I don't care what's going on. Yeah, but they're going to stone me. I'm with you. I'm standing right there with you, Stephen. Let her rip, man. And the same way with Philip. Everywhere he went, he was not keeping the faith, but he was sharing the faith. He was telling others the good news. The good news is simply this. God has done for each of us through Jesus that which we could never do for ourselves. That's the good news. Isn't that good news? It's good news. And that's what Philip was all about. This deacon. Oh, come Holy Spirit on us all, that we like Philip will let her rip. That was his let her rip moment. You know, you think Philip may have just gotten up in the morning and before he had his... He was probably on a keto diet too. He got up and he says, you know what? I think I'm just going to let her rip today. In fact, where can I go? I'm going to share the faith today. I'm going to proclaim the gospel today. I'm not going to be goofy with it. You know, I'm not going to walk into, I'm not encouraging you all to leave here and to walk into Cracker Barrel and say, turn or burn, you know? No, it's not that. It's don't be goofy with it. But it's look for those opportunities. They're all around us. All around us. Get out of Jerusalem. That was Philip's let her rip moment. And then the last one is Saul's story. We find it in Acts chapter 9. Yeah, you all know this one. It's always interesting whenever I ask people to tell the story of how Saul, who later becomes Paul, tell a story. They say, oh yeah, he was riding a horse and he got knocked off his horse. Does it say horse in there anywhere? That's always kind of funny to me. He gets knocked to the ground, but it doesn't say anything about him being on a horse. There's some other folks on horses there. You know, I think I want a horse one of these days. You know, it's kind of a joke at our house. Yeah. And verses 19, that's easy. Verses 19 and 20 of Acts chapter 9 says this. Now, for several days he was with the disciples. Talk about Saul. The disciples who were at Damascus, and immediately he began to proclaim Jesus in the synagogue, saying, he is the Son of God. I got to tell you a little story that happened last week. Maybe I've already told you. I don't know, depending on whether or not I was on earth or earth. And after I shared with you all Quinn Kincaid's story of, and we were over at her house last night and talking to her about her commitment to how she's invited Jesus into her life. And it's so clear. She spoke with such clarity and everything like that. Well, I just shared her story. Did I tell you Jackson's story? Jackson Storm story? I didn't tell you Jackson's story. Okay. So Jackson, he's back in here in first and second grade. You know, come Holy Spirit on that first and second grade class right now. I just, you're going to take away that knot in Sophie's neck. I'm believing for that. Oh, God, I'm asking for it. Please, Lord, would you do it? Maybe you've already done it. So I say thank you, Lord. But just bring Jackson right on through. And anyway, so Jackson comes up and he has his Bible. And he comes up and you just got to know Jackson, you know. He's like this big. And he's like high school age like type. He's so very smart kid. And so he comes up and he holds his Bible like this and he says, Pastor Doug, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And then he goes and sits out. So we're gonna look forward to being in your house and stuff. And so we went over, so part two of the story, we went over to his grandmother's house, to Gwen's house, and she has a, they have a nice pool in their backyard and stuff. And so Jackson and Sebastian, yeah, I was there, Sebastian, they were there swimming and stuff. And he got all excited when he heard that I was coming over to talk to, we were going over to see Gwen and Steve. They just come back from catching like Shamu and everything else. And so a big fishing trip up in Minnesota. So anyway, so he comes in and he said, Pastor Doug, are you going to baptismal me today? You know, because of the pool. It's just funny. You just had to be there. It was fun. So I said, well, not today, but, you know, we could. So, but Saul's already sharing the faith. He's proclaiming Jesus. He just started doing that. And, you know, if you read his story, and his story is found in the first part of Acts chapter 9. Whenever I teach folks how to share their faith, I always use this first few verses of chapter 9 to help people to know how to share their story. Their story. You heard Stephen's story. You heard Philip's story. And Saul's story is found in the first part of chapter 9. It has three parts. It's just telling your story is so easy. You don't have to memorize thousands of scriptures and you know, all of the transitional statements and all of that stuff. You know, if you want to, go for it. I've learned quite a few, and I use them, pull them out all the time. You need to have the Word of God. It needs to be close to you, so that in your heart, you know, so that you can share those things. But when you read Saul's story, it's got three parts. It talks in the very first couple verses. Read it. You see it. Talks about his life before he met Christ. Now Saul, verse 1, now Saul's still breathing threats and murder. This is before what I read a while ago. Still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for letters from him to the synagogues at Damascus so that if he found any belonging to the way, people of the way, Christians, both men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. He was a bad dude. That was Saul's before he met Jesus part of his story. Oh, but it's about to happen here. He's about to have his own letter rip moment, okay? And so if you look with me at verse 3 and following, it says, as he was traveling, it happened. I love that. It happened. Let me just say this. Either you've had an it happened moment or you haven't. When Michael was so wonderfully sharing the gospel and challenging and encouraging us a while ago during our worship time, that's what he was talking about. You know, it can happen to you. It can happen. Saul had his it happened moment. As he was traveling, it happened that he was approaching Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground off of his horse. Doesn't say that. And heard a voice saying to him, did hear stuff, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Isn't that interesting? He said, who are you? Oh, I know who you are. Who are you, Lord? You reckon that he's seeing something possibly? Like Stephen saw something? You reckon that he knew suddenly somehow? I don't know. It doesn't say that, so don't get crazy with me with this. But, you know, maybe he was hearing Jesus say, let her rip, man. Come on, let her rip. It's about to happen for you. All that stuff you were doing before, that's all going to change. You were out to persecute him. Now you're going to be sharing the faith with him. And it's about to happen. And this is his it happened moment. He said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and it will be told you what you must do. Verse 7, the men who traveled with him stood speechless. Because you, why? They heard the voice, didn't they? Yeah, they didn't see anything, but they heard the voice. That's an it happened moment. That's a let her rip moment. That's how he met Christ. So everybody's got a before he met Christ. Everybody. And hopefully you've met Christ. And then there's the third part of every one. What's the difference? Has he made a difference in your life? Verse 10, now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, here am I, Lord. And the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight. And you know, the rest of the story is amazing. It's amazing. So there's always a before you met Christ. What was that like for you? Just tell somebody about what your life was like. That's, you know, and then the fact that you met Jesus. Tell somebody about that. This is how it happened. Where was it? Was it in a church service? Was it on a retreat, a men's retreat or a women's retreat? Were you reading a book? Were you by yourself? Were you a little boy? Were you a grown person? Were you a teenager? Were you at a camp? Were you at a conference? What happened? How did it happen? Tell me about that. There's always a fact. And the more descriptive words you can use, the more picturesque language you can use, people will remember. They'll remember that stuff. Some of you, any of you remember Dennis and Jane Porter that used to be here? They were here. They were part of the church when we started. And we've known the Porters since, 40 plus years. I got a chance to win these. Well, I didn't win them to the Lord, but I won their kids to the Lord. One of their kids was called to the ministry, went to a very fine seminary, and pastors of church, and his kid, I got a chance to marry most, I think almost all their kids, and baptize them, and marry them, and all that. So we have a long history together. I never will forget. I trained Dennis in evangelism. I used to take him with me. Bernard, like you and I used to go, you know, on those trips. We'd go together and we would, you know, share with the gospel with people. And we could play off of one another. You'd say, you know, this and I'd say that kind of a deal. And so Dennis and I, we got to be very, very close with all that. I still remember his story. He was saved at a tent meeting. Listen to these picturesque words. He was saved at a tent meeting, sitting in a wooden chair on a sawdust floor. He was sitting next to his uncle, his favorite uncle, who gave him his very first pocket knife that he still has to this day. Now, I'm just saying, use as much picturesque language as you can when you tell how you met Jesus. People will remember that. They probably won't remember the scriptures, but they'll remember the picture. I don't remember any of the scriptures he used. But I can feel the wooden chair creaking underneath me. And you know, when it's on a sawdust floor, anybody ever been on a chair? You know, it's like going to a fair or something. You know, you sit there and the chairs aren't quite right, and you're sitting on these goofy chairs, and it's probably going to break with me here. And Sally then looks at me and says, you should have eaten keto. I'm just telling you. So anyway, so picturesque language, that's all. And then the last part of his story is, what difference has it made in Saul's life? Well, before he was persecuting Christians, and now he's making them work with me on that, okay? Now he's sharing the faith. He's trying to rob them of their faith, and now he's sharing his faith. I'm one of you. Well, you know, that's amazing to me. So whenever I teach people how to share their faith, I always use this particular passage. It's an amazing story. It's Saul's letter rip moment. No doubt to me that this was the church's first big letter rip moment that got them out of Jerusalem into the world. And because of what they did, what God's Spirit did in them, we are here today. We can have our own letter rip moment when we leave this place. And so, the summary statement found in Acts 9:31. The church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed peace. Ken, why don't you come? Enjoyed peace being built up and going on in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. it continued to increase. We'll not sing. You just play something. Our prayer this morning is simple as we go get our children and as we leave. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Do for us and in us and through us only what you can do. I know, Father God, we are not what we ought to be. But we sure are grateful today that we're not what we used to be. All because you let her rip in our lives. How can we keep the faith? Surely we must be about sharing our faith. Come, Holy Spirit. Seal up this message, O God. Seal it up. Be that guarantee that Michael talked about. Seal up the teaching in Sunday school that our children have just enjoyed. Seal it up, Lord. We leave the serenity of this house, of this place, to enter the insanity of the place out there. Oh God, let us be salt in a very tasteless world. May we be light in a dark world. Use us this week. Use us this day. Use us this moment. Let her rip. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for being here. And go get your kiddos. My wife and I are getting ready to... We got to leave really quick. I have a wedding to do 3 hours away from here at 4 o'clock. So we're going to blow out really fast. But we'll greet you as you leave. God bless you and make it a great week. Okay?